Welcome everybody to Overdunk episode 13. My name is Zoinks with Unite Mikes, and this is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I sit down with the top teams in the game right now, discuss everything from tournaments, metas, and what really makes their teams tick. Today, I have the amazing pleasure of being joined by Gengar Goons. Gengar Goons, welcome to the show.
Appreciate Hello. It, man. We're glad to
hey, what's
you,
up?
Man. Yeah, welcome in. Yeah, you guys are definitely a team that I think a ton of people know about and, like, maybe haven't, like, we've talked about this a little bit before the show. Maybe too many teams are sleeping on, and I think that reputation's starting to change. A top four placement in these February finals. You guys have clinched that spot for the March finals. We're going to see you there. There's a lot of hype building around your team right now, which I'm really, really excited about, and I'm pumped that we get to have you guys on the show. What I want to do before we actually get into everything is just get to know your team a little bit more. It's one of my favorite parts of the show. We get to showcase just you guys, your personalities a bit. Let's just go around with, like, some quick introductions. I just want, like, we're going around, you know, a circle, family style, if you will. If you guys could just say who you are, what role you play for the team, and then maybe, like, what people might know you from if you come from another game or anything like that. Egnu, why don't we kick it off with you?
Gengar Goons defender player, obviously used to be a Mime One Trick back in the day.
Okay.
Back in October's. You know, obviously we've been around for like 5 months as a team. Not us as five, but at least the main three of me, Ryan, Jacob, which sure. is Veneer and Kratos.
Okay.
But I came from League. I used to, like, my peak was like D1 master promos. Basically okay. failed them.
Sure.
but yeah, that's it for me. There, I played, like, top lane solo.
Okay.
Like Urgot, man.
Fantastic. Coming from other MOBAs, very exciting. Jake Horn, why don't you go next?
Yeah, my name is Jacob, in-game name Veneer. I play range support for Gengar Goons. I don't think anyone would know me. I played...
That's all good.
I played a lot of Dota back in the day.
That but was then, the game know. To grind, for sure. I totally respect the Dota grind.
Okay. I mean, I sunk like 5,000 hours in the game. I don't Ooh. Think... I mean, I think my peak was like 4,500 MMR or something, but like...
Wow.
I mean... I don't know, just the MOBA stuff being fun, but this one's fun, so...
Good.
I like that.
Alright, well, I'm glad we got a new one that hooked you. Pokemon Unite is a ton of fun. I love the game, too. Kratos, why don't you introduce yourself next?
Hi, I'm Kratos, and I don't know. I play jungle for Gengar Goons. I've been bouncing between attacker and jungle, but we've been settling on jungle lately.
Okay, awesome. Star Bunny, why don't you go next?
Star Bunny, I play ranged attacker for Gengar Goons. I played Heroes of the Storm before I played this game.
Oh, awesome.
And yeah, I like this game a lot more. It's a lot of fun.
Great. That's awesome. I know there was kind of a mass exodus from Heroes into Pokemon Unite at kind of the start of the game, so that's cool that you actually enjoy this one more. Fantastic. All right, Ree, why don't you close us out on just our introductions here?
Hey, my name's Ree. Not sure if a lot of people know me, but I mainly play top lane for Gengar Goons, and I don't know if a lot of people know who I am, but if they do, then... I'm mainly known for my nutty 1v9 ECB plays and clutch OBJ steals.
Those are the two best things to be known for when you're a top lane player, I think. I love that E-Speed has been the evergreen pick for Lucario. The power-up punch is it's neat, but extreme speed is just so much more fun to watch. And as a caster, I'm a little biased. It's way more fun to call out epic E-Speed plays than it is power-up punch. So I'm really excited about that.
It's really fun watching OG and Overlord run through your team.
It's a good time.
I really enjoy watching my attacker get one shot. It's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. Well, power rankings around the Pokemon itself could be a discussion at a later point. Speaking of characters that have never been nerfed and have the ones that deserve it more than anybody, Lucario is probably at the top of our hit list in that case. But guys, let's talk about Gengar Goons a little bit. Egnu, you mentioned you've been a team for 5 months now, which having a roster, stick around for that long. I know there's been a few change-ups in players here and there, but the core of the roster has been a team for a really long time in comparison to most other teams in the scene. We see tons and tons of roster changes, teams dropping, teams reforming, all those kinds of things in the scene. But Gengar Goons been a little little bit of the opposite of that. Talk to me. How did this team form in the first place?
This team kind of formed through the Reddit court, actually. So I would post my stats in the Reddit court, actually. And Ryan sent me a DM one day, and I tried out. Awesome. That's kind of where the team came from. And Jacob and Ryan started this game together. They were looking for some players to join the competitive team. So that's kind of where it formed, just from the Reddit cord straight up.
Yeah, I remember. Agnib and I were like the first ones to join.
That's awesome. Did you also post your stats, you know, try to stunt a little bit, find yourself on a team?
Yeah, that's basically what I did.
That's awesome.
I remember, when I first signed up for Gengar's Goons, I asked them if I could sign up. They're like, reach master first. I reached master in like one day, and they're like, you're in.
It was actually so funny, because Ryan and I, like, in September, I was like, you know what, Ryan? Ryan and I know each other from a long time. My friends from high school went to college with him, and so that's how we met.
Oh, cool.
And then they played League together, but, like, it was funny, because when Ryan and I went to make the team, we're unknown. We're late to the game. No one really knows who we are. And we're trying to get, and so we're just like, we started going through the Reddit cord, or like, what are even our requirements? So we spent like a week trying to figure it out. And then he found this team that we joined, and then Ree was trying out for them.
Oh, cool.
And then Ree wasn't even master yet. And then, he saw her post because like there was a post, and then he was like, yo, I'm ultra, and I'm just like, man, I don't even know, just hit master and we can talk.
Okay.
He hit it within 24 hours, and I'm like, well, nice. All right, dude, let's try
that's,
you
that's
out
good.
I'm like you know what, maybe not now, but like at the time I was like, hey, that was pretty hard to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the ELO solo queue, man, too. Slow. Oof, brutal. All right, well, shout out to the solo queue grinders. Star Bunny, how did you find yourself on Gengar Goon Squad? And how long have you been a part of the team?
Well, I'm definitely the newest member. Okay. I saw Kratos posting in some servers that they were looking to recruit. And some of my friends knew Kratos, so they put in a good word for me to everybody. Nice. And then I trialed with them, and I think it worked out well.
Sounds good. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, obviously it worked out well. You found yourself on a team. You found a fantastic placement. You guys have been killing it lately. I also heard that you just picked up another tournament win this weekend, so shout outs, congrats. It's always nice to see the squad finding that early success as you're forming with this new team. It's always winning does a pretty good job of building synergy, I think. So that's always fantastic. If you guys have listened to the show before, I ask a lot of the same questions when I try to get to know the team a little bit, because they're some of my favorite questions around. And the most important one always comes first. I need to know, guys, on your squad, if I'm getting to know your team, who is the biggest inter on your squad?
You know what I think? I think we let Star Bunny answer this question first, and we see what she thinks.
Okay, Star Bunny, a little bit of the hot seat. Who's the biggest inter on your squad?
I don't know if I want to reveal any team weaknesses.
Oh, true.
So I'm not sure if I want to answer that.
Go ahead. You can say me. It's all good. No worries.
Y'all know
I'll
it's me.
I'll go with Kratos, I guess.
Okay. All right. Kratos takes a little bit of the blow. All right. Well, Kratos, I want to ask. I mean, Eggnoob kind of nominated themselves. So, I mean, we have maybe a 50-50 split down the middle of who ends up getting that role. But let's talk a little bit about the low-key carry of the team that you don't think ever gets credit. Who on your team is the sleeper pick that's always owning?
This is Eggnoob and Jacob, 100%.
Really?
They are... Yeah, Eggnoob does like most of the shot calls, and Jacob, he's always there like for the team, and without him, like a lot of plays would just not be possible. And I think it's just underrated, because all you see are like, you know, insane Luka ESP plays, or like even Star Bunny going for like, you know, 1v3 clutch plays, or Ryan doing like 1v9 clutch plays. But I feel like the supports are highly underrated, because without them, most of the fights wouldn't be winnable.
Okay, gotcha. That's some premium gas, by the way. I love that being sent towards your entire team. Okay,
I like being gassed up, but like, I don't know. Egg is definitely like Some of his engages he finds are,
Okay,
I don't
sick.
know.
All right, well, Egg, you're getting a lot of praise here. Definitely, definitely. So the last key
Okay.
piece, I think, of finding out how any team ticks on the inside is absolutely who's got the jokes, who is the funniest team member on your squad.
Well, Egg.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey,
Egg compliment stream, man.
Whatever the plan is down, like Egg Noob is always the one to get his hype and just crack a joke, and we'd all smile and we'd be ready for like the next match and we'd be like all hyped up.
That's good.
And
Could be also
no, it
McTokens.
helps. Yeah.
It might be
Oh,
McTokens.
McTokens holds it down. I know you don't know who
How
McTokens is,
the hell can this
Zoinks,
do
he's like Ryan's most dedicated Twitch viewer.
Oh,
Yeah,
heck
he's always
yeah.
there for the stream.
This is
Always
true.
there.
Every time, and he just Ryan just ignores him because he doesn't look at his Twitch chat. He's such a he just doesn't look at his Twitch chat, and he's just always there. He's singing like Shrek songs in the chat. He's singing like All Star.
All right. Okay. Well, absolute shout out to Twitch viewer McTokens, who is the MVP of Gengar Goons. I can't believe you guys didn't say them for the low key carry that never gets
They
credit
were
because,
the carry, though.
yeah.
Oh, no. That guy sucks at this game.
Okay. All right. Well, a lot of positive qualities have been given to that guy, but apparently playing the game is unfortunately maybe not one of them. But
Everyone has some weaknesses.
that
That's
is
the
that is
main
true.
line.
Yeah, that definitely is true. But guys, okay, let's talk about the story of Gengar Goons then. We know your team. We've gotten to know a little bit about your inner workings. We know the players now. Let's talk about the story. So you started about 5 months ago, and I've always described, if players ask me, or if like other content creators are asking me, like, what's up with this team Gengar Goons, who are they, my first word that always comes to mind is grinders. In my mind, like, Gengar Goons is in every bracket of every single tournament that I've ever seen. You guys are fantastic at making sure you are always entering tournaments, always grinding to try to do what you can do, get better as a team, improve. I really respect that grind. Is that how you would describe Gengar Goons as, like, as a squad? Do you think that is an important factor of what makes you guys a team?
I
I
actually
mean,
say a lot of our strategies are definitely trial by fire,
okay.
trial by error.
Right.
So a lot of the things that we do, because sometimes we run like semi-off meta comps, like when Charizard first fell off after Rin started using it, we started to pick up the Charizard when it stopped seeing play. And then we've developed a lot of strategies with the Charizard Slowbro duo, personally. That I think we it could only really be done by playing that many games and grinding out all the tournaments and doing stuff like that.
Yeah, no kidding. If you want to have a secret weapon, you better actually know how to use it before you bring it into any game. And that's gonna take a lot of time. Okay, gotcha. Do you think that, like, any member of the team can answer this question too? Do you think that's kind of a little bit of the identity of Gengar Goons? Do you think you really excel at picking these off-meta surprise picks?
Oh yeah,
Oh,
100%.
yeah.
Like,
I don't know if it's our
we
identity.
go for it, go for it.
Call it our identity, but I'd say that's something that we can do if we're starting to feel like we're not finding success.
Okay.
Like if we're ever feeling like we're not performing, we're like, what can we do? How can we change this? What do we do to change it? Like obviously, we were I think struggling a little bit with our jungle picks originally
Okay.
when Ryan first came in and we were trying the Greninja and we were trying the Cinderace. I don't think it fit our team well.
Okay.
And then we tried out the Talonflame and we tried out the Charizard and it felt a lot better.
Okay. Very cool. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, maybe it was wrong for me to ask if it was your complete identity as a team. Obviously, I've seen you play very, very well on what every team would consider to be the meta. You guys have been proving yourself there, but having that back pocket pick, I think, has really made your team have some sweet, sweet success in a lot of angles. So that is fantastic. Shout out to you guys. But my next question is, I just want to less of a question, more of a topic. I want to start talking about your February monthly finals tournament that you guys entered into. You went through a pretty tough bracket. Like, I think you started on definitely the harder side of the bracket. I think everybody could agree, and you made your way all the way to the top four placing. So I've already said congratulations a few times. I'll say it one more time. Congrats. But I'm gonna bring the bracket up on stream so we can all take a look at it. I will share my screen as well if you guys want to see what I'm looking at. But cool. So let's talk about this bracket. We'll go over some games. You guys can point out, tell me the story of these games, if you even remember them. But at this point, this tournament has been pretty far removed in terms of timeline. But if you can remember these games, we'll talk about them. Any memorable things, we'll have to discuss. But your first round, you ended up going against the team that knocked out Glitch Energy into the open qualifiers. You ended up going against Overcap, the NA score comp aficionados. And you ended up taking them down 2-0. Talk to me about this game. Was going up against score comp in a first round bracket something that worried you guys? I know you knew who you were going up against in a decent amount of time, so you had a little bit of time to prepare. What did that look like going into this first game?
So actually, fun fact, we beat them initially to get top 16.
That's right, you actually knocked these guys down. I completely forgot about it. So you knocked them down.
No,
to
it's
losers,
okay, right? Everyone does. Everyone's like, no, they're gonna
no,
beat us.
I
I'm
swear
like,
I did.
We already beat them. Like, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know. I personally, this was the match I was like, guys, this is the match that matters, because I don't know, to me, making sure we beat score comp, because to be honest, I think anyone could lose a score comp. It's
yeah.
just,
oh yeah,
like the way you have to play is, I don't know, it's like every moment of the game you need to be focused on where they're rotating.
Yeah, and they rotate a lot. That composition is moving all over the place. Did you guys make any specific adaptations to try to beat this composition? I know you did it once before, and this is your second time doing it. You're, you know, 2-0 in the game and 2-0 in your match record. But was there any specific adaptations you made for this game, or did you just sort of play your game?
I play, we play 2-1-2, and I just play Lackstop instead of LD.
Oh, okay. Very, very cool. Lackstop's
a LD really fun just. I mean, LD just can't play the game against score comp. Like,
yeah.
Pokemon doesn't serve any function.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah, that I think, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Anybody else on the other roles on this squad, did you guys find you had to adapt quite a bit to play against score comp?
Just a bit. Because as a top laner, it was kind of weird playing bot lane against the score comp team.
It's a whole new world down there.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
You got to play a little different.
Okay.
Yeah, same for me, because I was playing bot lane and then was playing top lane. So that's some adjustment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Starbunny, were you on the Pikachu this whole time as well?
Yeah.
Okay, do you find that Pokemon works pretty well into a score comp?
I think it depends on what is on the other team as far as their Pokemon. But for me and how we played it, it does work, because they were putting the Talonflame up top, and that's pretty easy for me to take out early game.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I did not struggle with that.
Okay, yeah. I've seen a lot of players try to pick up the Pikachu to try to circumvent this this score comp as a soft counter, if you will. It's just always interesting, because I've even seen some players pull out the Volt Tackle, which is like I considered a forbidden move on that Pokemon for so long, but I've seen it be a little bit viable. But it's interesting to see those picks go into them. But okay, fantastic. You guys beat Overcap 2-0. Were these games like, you know, was getting kind of hot under the collar? Were getting a little bit nervous in these games? Were they close? Or were they pretty much going in your favor the whole way through?
I'm actually sure that we were in the lead heading into Zapdos both games, but I'm pretty sure both games ended within 50 points.
No, they were both within 30, man.
Close.
I think the second game score was like 854 to 8, like, I think 21.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
I don't know. I was a little nervous, and I think I messed up like one of the blocks, and I let one score in that I shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's so worrisome when you're waiting on that score line at the end. If that one score didn't go in, oof, I understand that pain for sure. But
yeah.
Luckily.
I think that was probably, outside of our final game, that was probably the most stressful game we played.
Really? Okay. Awesome. Well, let's jump into your next game then, because I think a lot more people would consider this one to be the way tougher matchup, obviously. You guys beat Team Shiny 2-0. So I was doing a little bit of casting for these like early rounds before they were on the main broadcast. Unfortunately, I didn't really get to get too much out of this specific game. I got some of your next game. We'll talk about that. But Gengar Goons versus Team Shiny. You guys beat Team Shiny. A lot of people consider this team top 3, even maybe top 5. You beat them 2-0. Talk to me about how this game broke down.
So the weird thing about this is I feel like this was one of our easiest matches.
Really?
Of the entire tournament. Okay. If anyone was watching the games through Rin's POV, I think they could agree. In the second game, we kind of were like a little bit behind it even, but we were able to catch out their Lucario, and then we just got to fight like a 5v4 because we're running the Charizard Slowbro.
Right.
And we just got to rail their team, and we basically just wiped them at Zapdos both games.
Okay, gotcha.
And it wasn't really that... I'd say the games felt probably the easiest out of almost any in this tournament, which is...
Hey, sick.
I'm not trying to be cocky when I said that. I'm just being honest.
No, I mean, yeah. There's a lot of different angles that could be taken, but the way I'm picturing it with your team, I mean, it's coming together, right? Gengar goons are finding their way. You were able to catch out a player a little bit out of position, and you punished. That's just good Pokemon Unite, in my opinion. But
I mean, I think we also just forced the chart. Like, I don't know, because after that, Rin started playing Charizard. So,
okay.
Like, we were Charizard all tournament, and after, I don't know, we were the only ones playing at the start of the day, but at the end of the day, people were like, oh, this Charizard Pokemon might be good. I don't know.
That's true. Kratos, were you the player playing Charizard for the squad the whole tournament?
Yeah.
Cool. How do you feel on that Pokemon compared to other jungle picks?
It's probably one of the worst Pokemon at first Dreadnought.
Okay.
And you can't really do anything, so... compared to other like picks, like that's what stands out to me the most, actually. So we have to play around that.
Definitely. When you say play around that, does that mean you're just kind of forgoing a lot of first Dreadnoughts, just kind of giving that up to the enemy team, or do you just have to find other ways to find the last hit?
There's a little bit of a motto I have, and it's called "It's time to flippy rippy, baby."
Hey, okay. Well, I'm glad that that motto is on the table. It has to happen. And you try to pull this off as a Slowbro?
Our top laner to early rotate. This was before Hoopa was there, obviously. So our top laner early rotates, and we always go pup. So what we do is we just hit it before they are able to rotate down, because usually their jungler is like 5 seconds, whatever, late. Yeah. We rip it on spawn.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you are not there within 3 seconds, it's dead.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially if you're running a Charizard pick, not having that extra like level 9 tanky mon at first Dreadnought. Impossible to do so, really. But that's just going to create a ton of extra space. That makes sense. I love that strategy. It's a good adaptation for your composition that you're running. I like that a lot. And then, so you have that weakness at first Dreadnought. Charizard, I think Kratos, you'll agree, one of the best endgame team fighters available. I mean, you definitely have a gigantic ultimate, destroys the whole team. You have to be a little bit careful how to use it, because it can be canceled by full heal, which sucks.
That's, he's never had his ultimate canceled, I swear. Not even once.
Really? Okay, that's some shoutouts. Kratos, are you like on the hunt?
That was a joke.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that was definitely a joke.
Okay, yeah, the gas has ended. Now it's some frustration. Yeah. Kratos, have you had too many of your Unite moves taken away?
No, I'm really conservative with it, because there's a ton of unstoppable in the game, so you really have to be mindful of what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm playing good, then I usually don't get it, but sometimes I screw it.
It happens. All right. Well, either way, the 2-0 win went in your guys' favor. The Charizard pick definitely find you guys a lot of value. Before this, was Rin was playing in lane on Venu then? And
I think he was Pika.
It was Pika. Okay, gotcha. And they're running, I assume, Cinder in jungle.
Yeah, I think he was playing Cinder.
Gotcha. Well, fantastic work. You guys make your way into, I guess it would be round 3 or winner's semis at this point, and we had the battle of GG. So I think we can all agree TTV absolutely stole your team label. You guys have had Gengar Goons for a long time.
We had a little banter about that in the pregame.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad.
Isn't there a third team now with GG? I think it's like... Middle Eastern, like esports or whatever they're called. Oh, I think really? They put GG in front of their names too.
Oh no.
And I don't know if you've been around in the scene long enough, but I think back in October, Eclipso team, who's on Lost Five Santos right now, used to have a team called Genetically Gapped, and they also had GG in front of them.
That's funny. I had no idea they were called Genetically Gapped. That's hilarious. We will actually have to talk about Lost Five a little bit. I do have a few people in chat asking you, your team specifically, to talk about that team. So we'll have to get into that eventually. But I think there's a little bit of action going on at the bottom. Oh, they got knocked out by Lego. Well, we'll talk about it later. All right. I got the opportunity to cast this game a little bit. Me and Sneaky Seal were just casting some games, tuning in here and there. I watched this game. It is 2-0, but I need, like, I know your team definitely a heartbreaker. A heartbreaker.
I don't know.
That game was your game. I watched it. Indy with a Leaf Tornado Steal of the Century. My heart, like, broke when we were watching. I was like, no way.
I think the best part about it, because this wasn't the first time this has happened against us versus Gaming Gladiators.
Time a support player from TTV has stolen the Zapdos from us. 30.
It's your kryptonite. They know your weakness. This is horrible.
First was Zug, second was Indy.
Oh my god.
It happened at like the start of February. I was actually playing attacker, and then we were playing Zard, and it was when Tanz was subbing in for them.
Okay, gotcha.
I don't remember the tournament, but it was like we got knocked out. We were winning the entire game. We crushed them at Zapdos fight, or some crazy shenanigans happen. We get into our 5v5 at Zapdos, and then we kill them all. Zug comes over the wall. I'm 1 HP. He kills me. Vivid memories.
Okay, got you. So a little bit of PTSD in this game.
There's no way it happens again.
Right.
And then Andy gets the 1 in 100 steal, man. Like, I don't even know.
They can't do it a third time. That's all we're looking forward to.
You better be knocking on wood right now, Agnuber. That's true.
I can't go back and look at that game.
No, it hurts. Yeah.
Game one is closed forever.
Okay, gotcha. No VOD review ever. Not allowed.
I mean, what do you even say? We were winning the entire game.
No, I'm with you. That game was so incredibly, like, you guys had that game. You were dead to rights. Gengar Goons was winning it. A crazy steal by Indy makes that game flip-flop in the other direction. The other game, I think Gaming Gladiators really, like, had a really excellent game. That game did go in their favor. They go 2-0. They move on in the bracket. But let's not forget, like, I mean, you guys were winning that entire other game. What goes into a team's mindset when you're going up against Gaming Gladiators or Form TTV, whatever you want to call them here? They are, like, as we've said multiple times, cast, podcast, whatever, they're the most successful team historically. They are an incredibly strong team, didn't drop a map ever in this open or in this tournament. What goes into your mindset? How do you try to beat TTV? Do you guys have strategies specifically thought up against this team going into a tournament, or is it just like something you need to adapt to day of?
So I think we don't have any strategies against TTV. It's not like we're like thinking about it like the day before or anything like that.
There's no dartboard with all their faces in your bedroom. Sure.
It's just, I think the main thing is you can't psych yourself out against them. Cause obviously you got to acknowledge that they're a good team, but you can't just be like, oh my gosh, this is Gaming Gladiators.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
They are so good. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to like, you can't like, try to be their biggest fan or like hype them up too much when you're facing them, right? You just got to be like, you know, it's another team. You know, let's just try to beat them, and you know, we'll see what happens.
Gotcha. Yeah.
We also just have good success against them. Like, we've had two games we definitely should have won, which you know, not every team can say that against that team. So
exactly. Yeah,
we should have been their only loss of the day, so we can You know, we can take that confidence. If we got the Zapdos, we would have been their only loss. So that's good.
That would have been amazing. Yeah, Indy had words to say about that. But yeah, it happened. All right, well, let's jump into your next game then. You guys go up against LEGO. This is going to be your winning it. If you win this game, you guys solidify your top four placement. You are in loser's bracket. It is a loser goes home kind of situation. When you're going up against a team named LEGO, but with this kind of pressure mounting of your next game is it, you get that top four. Do you feel that pressure going into game, or has this been a long enough bracket? You've been playing Unite together just this whole day already, two tournaments now. This is just kind of water under the bridge.
For me, I think we were pretty hyped going into it, though, because we were doing really well. Like, I was very happy with how we played. Even against TTB, I thought we were really happy with how we played. So, I mean, we weren't, like, bogged down or anything. We were actually pretty hype at this point just because of how well we were doing.
Right. Okay.
So,
I mean, I personally was a little concerned because Egg was like, hey, guys, I didn't want to tell you, but I didn't sleep last night. No.
I could not sleep. No, I think that was the game after LEGO. It was when we had, like, the hour-long break.
It was the two-hour-long break we had.
I'm pretty sure
you said it before.
I was like, I'm going to be honest with you guys. My eyes are hurting. I was too nervous to sleep.
It happens. It happens, I guess.
But we were fine against these guys because this was another team we had to beat to qualify.
Yeah, we also knocked them out of the winner's bracket of the qualifier as well.
Gotcha. So this
is some superhero play by Egg. Like, I don't even know. He's picked up 16 points at the end of the game. And scored him one, by the way. I was just like, oh man, I gotta get ready for losers. Because I died, no one else got to score, but because I died, Egg was able to pick up my points and just somehow get a surf and score. It's actually an insane clip. I watched that clip like 7 times and I still like, I don't even know how Egg got those points, but he did it and that was hype.
That's a Field of Dreams moment right there. That's hype. Awesome. All right. Well, was this game as close against LEGO? I know the scoreline's 2-0. Was in-game a little bit of a different story, or was it around the same?
I mean, the scoreline shows, like, it was, you know, that we, like, beat them really hard. But I think LEGO's a pretty good team. They do a really weird off-meta strategy as well in, like, the first game.
Yeah, they play 2-1-2.
2-1-2 semi-score comp.
Okay.
It's very weird, but it worked. Score. Yeah,
we didn't play very well. We definitely probably should have lost game one.
Oh,
I disagree with that. I think we 100% always win against what they did because they gave us every dread and they decided to fight us at Zapdos. So it's just
they auto-lose.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, I don't know.
Big Brain Macro is going to win that every day of the week, but. All right, well, your next game ended up, unfortunately, being your last game. You went up against Fullsen. Now, Fullsen, a team newly formed, but with a ton of really heavy hitter, really solid players of the community on this squad. You also are finding them in, like, a revenge tour. So it's always really hard to be in front of a team who is, like, just desperately wants to get back and beat Ascendance again. So that's always terrifying when you're going up against a team like that. But you did go, it was 2-0 in Fullsen's favor. How did this game go, though? Were you happy with this game, or is this a game that you're going to be looking back in review and all that kind of thing? Well, I'm sure you've already done it. And just being like, there is some stuff we got to fix.
I don't know.
In my opinion, our tournament experience was showing. Okay. Our inexperience, at least, because, in my opinion, at least, because normally during these tournaments, we don't get a 2-hour long break.
No,
it was 3 hours. It was a long
time. We had a long break in between. Yeah, exactly.
The EU tournament had to broadcast
the EU tournament.
Yeah. So by the time we got to play, our steam was running out because we had a player who apparently didn't sleep, and
that's me, baby.
And then
some fingers have been pointed. Okay,
it's not finger pointing. It's just like It's Steam running out, right?
It is what it is. Reed didn't play that many tourneys with us because of his work schedule.
Right.
Yeah. So
these are like one of his first tourneys, and he's playing back-to-back games against some of the game's best, like Lucario's game in and game out.
Seriously.
So it's a real stress builder up for him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's extremely exhausting. So it's kind of, in my opinion, this was the expected result.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Well, fair enough.
I mean,
go ahead. Yeah.
I think if we play LEGO and we go into our full send game, I think
I
don't know. Serious doesn't look like that.
If there's no 2 hour break,
it's way better for you guys.
I think we could definitely at least take a game, if not win the series.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not to be too cocky, but like I don't know. I think that we're really slept on.
Yeah. No. Well, let's start talking about that then. Let's jump back. Let's take away this. Bring our faces back up. Let's start talking about your squad. Yes. Let's face it, your team has been labeled as the underdog in pretty much every tourney you've been in. You've, like, for a long time, a lot of people have slept on the Gengar Goons. Before we get into, like, why that is or anything like that, where do you think you honestly place right now if I was to give, like, in a top list of NA? Where do you think your team slots into? Top 10, top 5, top 3? Where does Gengar Goons land?
I mean, conservative, I think. Top 5 placing.
Okay. Wow, really, really cool.
I think, like, I don't know, we're still kind of figuring out our Hoopa meta right now.
That is true. The meta is throwing tables all over, for sure.
I don't know where we are right now.
Okay.
But, like, before Hoopa, I would say top 5 easily.
Okay, gotcha. Everybody else in full agreeance? Anyone gonna go out there say you were the best team in NA? Or, like, maybe a bit, you know. A bit of too much.
But I think we're number 2 in NA, but that's just me.
Okay, okay. Ooh, definitely a hot take. definitely a hot take, oh. Either way, you proved a lot of people wrong, getting a really, really nice placing here in this tournament. So, awesome. You're going to have to put your money where your mouth is a little bit in this next tournament. The March Finals are going to be a really competitive tournament. Again, I'm excited to see. We're going to have 12 teams from Open instead of 16. And you're going to, of course, have to face up against the other 3 teams that have qualified. So, you're going to have some really, really close games. I wanted to talk a little bit about your style. So we mentioned you have some kind of off-meta picks that your team can move to if they need to, but that doesn't always really define your Gengar Goon style. We talked a little bit about ripping first Dread, especially when you're running the Charizard. What do you think really like can define Gengar Goons as a squad in terms of how they play the game? Are you an aggressive, risk-taking team? Are you very defensive? Is your macro really solid, or are you more of a mechanically-based, skill-based team?
For me, I think if you go back to October and you take a look at our team, you could easily say we were very defensive. We were very, you know, we're just gonna, you know, we're trying to build up a team. We're trying to, you know, like get better and eventually, you know, be able to push things, right?
Okay.
So I think we went from like a really defensive team to like a more aggressive team in some of the plays we do, because obviously some of the plays may look weird at first.
Sure.
To some people, when you look at the VOD and you're like, why would they do that? Why would you ever do that? And then you look at it, it's like, it makes sense, you know, because we're trying out these aggressive things that people like usually don't look at, and we can make it click.
Oh, gotcha.
I'd consider us a like kind of aggressive-ish team at the current moment.
Cool.
I think we'll play pretty good macro in the mid game. Maybe not so much in the past, but like ever since we kind of reestablished Star Bunny coming in and Ryan moving to jungle, I think we've been able to like just keep things even in the mid game, because to me, I think the most important part of keeping a game competitive is having a solid mid game.
Okay.
Because if you don't have a solid mid game, then I don't know. I'm sure you play ladder and you run into a good stack, and then you lose your inner pads. And you're like, oh, Well, this game sucks now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm in full agreement. A good mid game definitely is a key to winning United. Because if you're losing the early game, that is exactly where you have to pick up that slack. It's where you have to turn it around and, you know, prep yourself for a solid in game. But okay,
it's awesome. Just really important to keep your pads. Like it's and being able to break pads too. Like that's just.
Yeah, kind of the core philosophy of this game is a little bit different than a lot of other MOBAs going to be scoring, but the idea of breaking towers on the way to the home goal zone is going to stay the same. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about what your team's doing for prep. So you've now qualified for the March finals. You don't need to play in this open qualifier, which means you have a little bit of an extended break compared to some teams who have to run through the open again. Has your team's preparation taken a little, like, have you taken the foot off the gas a little bit, or are you guys still in full-on grind mode, always trying to get better?
I think we kind of are going to take the foot off the gas, like, next week, just for, like, you know, personal reasons, like, just, you know, like, just because we have been grinders, obviously. We've been grinders, just like you said, for, like, the entire history of it, you know, and, you know, we're pretty happy with the results, and we think, you know, having a week off shouldn't hurt us too bad, especially with 2 weeks still for the March Cup. And, you know, we've been doing a lot more scrims actually recently as well.
That's awesome.
We used to almost never do scrims, but now we actually have been doing a lot of scrims.
Oh, that's really, really cool. I think that's kind of become the wave in a lot of the Pokemon Unite community. At first, it was nobody wanted to scrim, and now we've kind of had this transition of teams wanting to scrim other top teams, get better, hide strats a little bit, but also just make sure that your practice is still being really good quality. So that's awesome. So your team has started the scrim grind a little bit. It could be taking a well-earned break. I think everybody would agree. But then you're going to be getting back to it. In terms of your team's preparation, I know you guys are doing scrims. I'm sure you grind ladder a bunch together and things like that. How about VOD review? Is that a piece that, like, your team does at all? Or is that something that is not really implemented as much? I know it takes up a lot of time.
Very minimal VOD review, I'd say.
Okay.
We have it. Especially, we look at our tournament games a lot, I think. And we say, hey, what went wrong here? Like, obviously, as you do in a pod, but we want to look at our tournament losses and things that we felt need to be looked at. It's not like, I don't know. Yeah, just basic tournament losses.
Yeah, definitely. You got to take a look at what went wrong, how to fix it, and it's more in the moment kind of things that you're taking a look at. Is that what I'm picking up? Like, you're trying to see immediately after the game something happened? Okay, awesome. Well, I think that is really solid prep, of course, for any team to be doing. I think it's a pretty foundational. You got to make mistakes, but you got to learn from them, and you have to learn from them properly if you want to be a top team in the game. So that's really exciting to see. Well, let's talk a little bit about the state of the game of Pokemon Unite. I've talked a lot about your tournament scene, this most recent run, things like that. But we are founding ourselves in a brand new meta. Hoopa has been released. Player opinions of this Pokemon have been all over the map. I have seen people love this Pokemon and so happy that we have, like, a really skill-dependent support Pokemon. I've seen people can't stand playing against this Pokemon and hate what it brings to the game. What are your team's philosophy on this Pokemon? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Where do you stand on Hoopa?
I'm kind of confused by this, like, super skill-dependent. Like, you can do some crazy stuff with it, but, like, I don't know. You're just a taxi for a lot of the game.
Okay, I gotcha.
Well, okay. So there's, like, a lot you can do with the portal in the late game, I think, and finding good portal opportunities. But to call it, like, this super mechanically difficult, I don't know.
No, I get you. Okay.
It's just kind of weird because, like, the Eldegoss players are picking it up, right? And so people are like, oh man, are these Eldegoss players going to be able to pilot this Pokemon? And I'm just like, I don't know.
Find it as difficult. I gotcha.
No, I think it's like a really hard Pokemon, but I'm not like, oh, the mechanics of this Pokemon are just too complex. It's just knowing how to, like, where to place your portal. And I don't know, is that mechanics or is that just like Because that's just like a support thing, right? Like how you used your Leaf Tornado.
Right.
Like, is it, like, I don't know. Is that a mechanic? Is that like a mechanically skilled thing? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
But.
It could definitely be hard to define. All right, well, so we've heard from the support player. How about the rest of the team? Do you guys like having a Hoopa on your squad? And maybe more importantly, what is it like to play against a good Hoopa? Do you like it or do you hate that?
I kind of just don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah. I
Yeah.
kind of just don't mind playing against Hoopa. I'm not gonna lie. And like I really it doesn't really change anything. Like the game doesn't feel any different in this
Really?
meta
Interesting.
comparatively to
Okay.
me, like the only thing that's really changed is like you rotate up or down more because of Hoopa Portal, right? So
Gotcha.
people are just faster on rotations.
Sure.
But like almost everything else about the game to me hasn't like felt that different.
Okay, gotcha. Haven't seen too many big macro strategy. And let's face it, the Pokemon's new. It's definitely a new addition to the game, so we're gonna see more adaptations with it, see it kind of find its own niche in some kind of meta. But that doesn't mean that it's gonna define a meta yet. It's definitely been a lot of the early hot new thing, but that doesn't always mean it's gonna be a mainstay. So yeah, all right. Well, Egg Noob, you don't really care. You're finding the support players just not too much Kratos. How? What about being a jungle player interacting with a Hoopa? Do you have to change up anything when you're playing against this Pokemon?
In the 113, I think it enables you to be like lazier on your macro decisions
Okay.
or
Yeah.
like tighter on it or like or was it more lenient on it?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
But I think there are like ramifications to having a Hoopa in the game that people haven't been playing with yet. So
Okay.
I don't know. We'll just have to see how it changes the game.
Cool.
So
Sounds good. Kratos,
I
I hate
definitely.
to keep Oh, sorry, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Oh no, I was just gonna say I definitely agree with the rotations because all of a sudden like you don't have a Hoopa on your team and the map movement becomes a lot not as clean.
Yeah. Teams are getting
Like I'll
a little lazy and sloppy with their
well
more
no, like
macro plays.
I'll switch back to Eldegoss for a game because like to me Hoopa is the early game Pokemon and Eldegoss is the scaling Pokemon.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
Just like
Unite move out of both these mons is very, very strong, but whole team healing is always going to be a well sought after resource. So I think Eldegoss is still going to have a lot of value.
well, I just think it's the speed of Zapdos that's more important. I think their
Okay.
ults are both impactful enough, but Hoopa doesn't have the same get out of jail free card with like a tornado to just like have an engage or like oh, we've popped Force and Unite, we need a backup. Here's a
Sure.
tornado.
Okay,
Ho
gotcha.
Hoopa doesn't have that. He kind of just has like I pop my ult and I have to go now. Like
Yeah.
he it's not like the same utility. So
Okay.
like that's why I think LD has like more scaling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely, I all in base character on Hoopa. That makes a lot of sense, but cool. Well, I did want to bring this up. I watched some of your guys' scrims recently. I was really enjoying watching your team play. Kratos, I saw you picking up the Absol recently. I also have noticed that that's not like a completely uncommon pick. I've seen more and more teams trying it out. Is that for fun, or is that a pocket pick that you like bringing into this meta right now?
I think it has a lot of potential that you have to play too perfectly for, probably.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, everything sort of has to go your way with an Absol
Yeah,
in the game.
exactly.
Maybe the definition of a glass cannon, except unfortunately for that Pokemon's purposes, that glass cannon needs to be in the enemy's face, able to be damaged by everybody. So it's going to be a risk. High risk, high reward. But okay, very cool. I won't drill you too much more. I don't want to leak any more secret strategies. Other than that, you are getting some shout outs from Lost Five though about your Absol in chat though. So They are fans as well. Cool. Well, guys, I think that we're hitting the end of our time, so I'm gonna bring the show to a close here. But I do have just a couple more questions I'd like to ask everybody. I'll let everyone plug all their stuff and things like that. Just a second. Your Twitch, your Twitter, everything included that. But I do want to ask a question. I love to ask every team that I have on here. What's one tip that you have for just a new competitive player? They're grinding ladder. They made master. Maybe not in one day, like Ryan, but maybe they have been doing that grind. They're trying to find a team. They're trying to get better at the game. What is one tip you could give for a player in your role for how to go from good to great? Egnu, why don't we kick it off with you?
I guess I'll just answer your first question about just finding a team. Honestly, sure. I would just try to join whatever team would take me. Because okay. I can learn a lot from those four guys or whoever, you know, whoever's mm-hmm. on that team. Even if I'm just completely new and maybe they're not the greatest players, whatever I can pick up, I want to pick up. Obviously, you want to watch the VOD review afterwards and be mm-hmm. like, what are these pro players doing that I'm not doing, obviously. But right. Yeah, for any new players that actually want to join a good team, I think you just start off with whatever team you can get on. And then once you get a little bit better, you can start trying out for like better and better teams and obviously meet people in the community that have like your kind of mindset and, you know, be able to form a team with them, obviously.
Awesome. I love that. Jacob, how about you? Why don't you give me a tip to a new competitive player?
I think it's important. I think one of our other strong points as a team is we all click together pretty well.
Mm.
I think that's a very important part of
definitely
finding a team. Like, you have to like join a team and then also get along with them.
That is an important part of being on a team. It's true.
And like, all of Egg points stand, and it's just like, if you want to also look towards being a pro, semi-pro, whatever we're going to call this right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just find people that you can work together with. And then hopefully if you're working well together, you can improve together.
I love that. That's a really, really good tip. Find a team, find one that you actually get along with and can perform with. That's awesome. Kratos, how about you? A tip for a new player. It can be about jungle. It can be about anything.
I guess for like just a general thing, I would say a lot of players I see tend to blame their teammates.
Yes.
I think people need to move away from that mindset and really look at their own gameplay before they start blaming their other teammates. Because you might be doing well in your eyes, but if you look back, then you're going to notice things that you shouldn't be doing.
Oh, absolutely. I can agree. It feels like you're calling me out on the podcast, but I understand. It's good, Trep. No, I try my best. You always got to be looking introspectively because you can't control the other players on your team. You can only focus on what you do. So blame yourself. There's always something better you could have been doing. Star Bunny, how about you? Any tip? It could be about the attacker role, but it can be about anything. What makes a player go from a good player to a great player?
Well, I only have my personal experience to go on, so I would say the thing that works the most for me and maybe can apply to others is just to really work on your secures and your positioning.
Okay.
You'll do well in team play and in solo queue if you are pretty good at doing those two things, and so that's my tip.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I think having a hyper-focused thing when you enter into a ranked game, I want to work on this, is going to do really well, and those are two... I think you hit the nail on the head. Those are two amazing things that you should be working on constantly if you actually want to see improvement. That's awesome. Ree, why don't you finish us off? Can be about a top laner, can be about anything. What's a tip for a new player?
For me, I just want to piggyback off of what Ryan was saying about not just blaming your teammates, but also on top of that too, don't be afraid to int too, because I feel like when you're first starting off, if you want to be a competitive player, the best way to learn is by making mistakes. And you also have to learn that it's that if you die, that you're inting and that's your fault. And I think it's okay to int, because if you learn off it, that's awesome. Because after that, you learn not to int and you learn how to basically get away with things, if that makes sense. Like, it's also how I'm learning how to do like 1v9s, like what I can get away with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing new players should not be afraid of. Just don't be afraid to int. Don't be afraid to make mistakes, because that's the only way to learn and get better and improve.
True. You keep calling it ints. I usually call it limit testing. But they are.
That's what my teammates call it too.
Exactly. You gotta find where those limits are. Who cares if you already knew they were in place? You just gotta push it. All right. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on this podcast. But let's just go around, sell out, shout out, whatever you guys want to. Where can people find you on the internet? Where can they watch you if you stream or if you have YouTube? Anything like that. This is your chance. Completely plug everything you got. Round the circle one more time. Eggnoob, why don't you kick us off? Egg?
Hey. Oh, I'm sorry. My mic was muted. I said just twitter.com/eggnoob.
All right, sweet. Go follow that guy on the twitter.com. Jacob, Jacorn, how about you?
I have a Twitter as well. Just Veneer, Van1R. I don't use it, but yeah, you could...
Awesome. Well, maybe he will if you all go follow right now. All right, Kratos, how about you?
I stream a lot on my Discord. Name is Tokeshimon, TOKESHIMON.
Okay.
On Twitch. Yeah.
Awesome. Go tune in there. Go see the Jungler Extravaganza. Star Bunny, how about you? Anything you want to plug?
I do have a Twitter for my clips in-game, but I think I would actually like to just have more people follow our Twitter team account so we can get ourselves out there a little more.
Cool. Okay. And is that, what's that
at? Gengar Goons on Twitter.
Just at Gengar Goons?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay. That's it. Okay, good. We did get the right plug. Oh, whoops. Oh, well. All right. And Ryan, how about you?
Well, thanks for having me on the stream, and... Well, you're going to see me soon streaming just like Ryan.
Hey, that's awesome. Shout out. We'll get that stream going soon. Really excited to watch some more of those guys. But for Gengar Goons, for you Night Mikes, Ivan Zoinks, thank you so much for joining Overdunk. Thank you for the people who tuned in live on the stream. If you're not live, you can be finding this podcast on, it'll be up on YouTube, but it'll definitely be up on all podcast services everywhere. So Apple, Spotify, Google, all of that. Guys, it does the show a huge amount of favors. If you go there, rate, review, all that good stuff. Just give us that 5 stars everywhere. If you're not going to give us that 5 stars, get out of here. Keep moving. But otherwise, seriously, does the show so much help to get discoverability. We love showcasing teams in the Unite scene like this. So that's my last little plug. If you're a pro Unite team, you want to come on the podcast, reach out to me on Discord. I'd love to talk to you, get you on the show. But Gengar Goons, thank you so much again for joining. Congratulations. Excited. And good luck to you guys in the March finals. Everybody, go check out Unite Mics. But that's all for today's episode. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.